tomorrow, Lord willing, is a day that a lot of people all over the world will be getting up quite early in the morning to celebrate. And I figure, let's talk about it a little bit. Let's talk about it. I was debating whether or not to go ahead and do like the SOP reading that we've been doing for the past few weeks. But let's just go to the website here and kind of have a little discussion about Easter, because it is on the minds of a lot of people. A lot of people. But my family, they pretty much know that that's just something we don't even discuss anymore. I pretty much just shot that down. And I'm sure a lot of you all have experienced similar things with family, with loved one, with relatives. It is a day of high importance. I'm seeing it even in my town. I went to the post office to go and get the rent, and when I went and talked with the lady who oversees the real estate agency, she was just all so excited. I gotta go get my dress and for the kids and all these things and with the baskets and the candy and just the dimension of what they claim. The whole purpose of Easter, it does not come up. Everything is about the materialism. It's about the eggs, the chocolate, the candy, just on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So I figure, you know, here's a good opportunity. It's a good opportunity for those who are not quite familiar. I'm sure many of here are already familiar, but let's just kind of go to the website and look at a few things that we can address concerning this holiday. And if anyone does not know what I'm referring to, this page on the website is titled, Is Easter Pagan? Is Easter Pagan? And you can find it on the warning section of remnantofgod.org, and you scroll down to holidays, and then you go and you'll see the very third link is Easter. And you click it. And it has lots of information that you can use on the streets with whoever you may come in contact with concerning this holiday, because, again, people are getting themselves ready. They're getting themselves ready to adorn themselves in their Sunday best. Me growing up in a Baptist church, you know, Baptist environment, it was a very high day. It was a very high day. As a child, I used to dread it. I used to dread it because I knew we were going to be in church the entire day. The entire day, my mom, getting the clothes together, going and making sure I had the very, very landish outfit along with the rest of my aunts. Something that really, really stood out. I mean, everybody's hair had to be done. Everything just, Sunday's best. Really, really came out on that day. All the food, all of the, the talking. I mean, the service began very, very early that day. They had the Sunday school service, and it went on till about, 11, the central time. And then they would have a special service just for Easter, and it just went on and on and on and on and on till about, about 3 p.m., and a lot of folks that were there, they would leave. They would just go for that early morning service. But then they would have a break. They'd have a break, and they would eat. And just everything that went on during that Sunday service kind of went out of the window, because you would see things with the adults that were just a little bit different from what they just heard via the sermon. And then we'd finish eating, and then they'd have another service. They'd have another service, and that what prompted the revivals. That prompted what they had a spring revival. So they would have the Easter service, and then the rest of the week they would have a nightly service for that entire week, where they would have a different preacher come in and preach, and another preacher would come in and preach for that entire week. So having said that, you know, this is a good opportunity to look into that. We can kind of touch on some of the main things that people address on this day. The main things you do get are the eggs. That is one of the hot topics to come up. The baskets, those, the candies. Those are the things that I'm most familiar with coming up. Now, a lot of these different traditions concerning Easter, I didn't know nothing about. It was pretty much based on the food, the eggs, of course, because after the service, then after everything was over, I want to say about maybe 5:30, 6 o'clock. I mean, it was still kind of sun was still up. Then all the kids would go out and they would, would change clothes, and the adults would hide eggs. They would hide all the eggs and then tell all the kids prior to going to find the eggs that they had this golden egg that had this dollar amount in it, or prize or so whatnot. So it kind of just took the onus of what we just heard in that Sunday service. It just took it completely away, because as kids, we were just focused on going out and getting those eggs and going out and getting the candy, and who was going to be that one to find that golden egg. And pretty much it set the stage for envy. It set the stage for that. And as parents, they really have no idea what you're doing to the children. You're promoting the unhealthy foods, for one, with the candies. And, again, the envy, because it's only one child is going to find that thing. So all the rest of them are going to look at it, and they're going to get upset. They're going to be jealous. It took the onus of what they claimed the whole day was all about, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which we're going to talk about that here, that how they purport the day has nothing to do with the resurrection. Absolutely nothing. This day is completely pagan. Completely pagan. But again, the way the enemy has disguised it, that it has something to do with the resurrection. And I also remember that one year where they put that movie out. They put the movie out, The Passion of Christ. And I, like many at that time, before I came to the knowledge of this truth, was compelled to go and see it. And just the imagery and a lot of that just really, really stuck with me on what they did and how they portrayed the movie. And it just wasn't right. It wasn't right at all. I'm sure many of you all may have seen it. You may have not have seen it. I wouldn't suggest it. I wouldn't suggest it at all. I wouldn't suggest any kind of movie, more or less. But that was just one of the ones that they really, really put out in Hollywood. And it's a Hollywood movie. It's a Hollywood movie. They really pushed it strong. And they do it every year. They do it every single year. Around this time of year, they would do that. They would do that old Charlton Heston movie. They did that every year. And then it was just amazing how all of a sudden, around Easter time, America all of a sudden got morals. They all of a sudden, just kind of slowed down. Let's focus on Christ. And then just the very next week, all of that gets thrown out the window. So that's how it is. And that's how I don't know if they still do it now because of the way society has shifted with the media. I don't know. I figure they do. They probably still do it in the South. I don't know if they do it in the other parts of the country. But every so often, my mom, she'll talk to me about it, because that was just something growing up. That was just, it was locked. That whole entire week, there were like little parts of that Ten Commandments movie. And you were forced to watch it. you were forced to watch that movie. And then when The Passion of the Christ was out, it was pretty much the same thing. But once you know and begin to read the word and begin to see truth about certain things, and you kind of put away that, because you don't need that visual representation. This thing is wearing a cross around your neck. You don't need it. Just by reading the gospel accounts, you can just, put yourself there and visualize it. What happened to our Lord while he was going up that hill? What happened to our Lord during the crucifixion, that you don't need that visual representation. And we know in the spirit of prophecy that we're going to see it. We're all going to see it. Even the wicked are going to see exactly what happened in that grand scale visual representation that Sister White describes. of seeing the beginning all the way to the end, seeing all the major players, all the ones who took their parts in the crucifixion, we'll be able to see it. We'll be able to see it exactly what happened. So we don't have to have that visual representation in the theaters. I'm going to look at a few here that kind of hit home. And let me see. The main is being the eggs. That's one of the main things. And the rabbits. Like, what does a rabbit have to do with the resurrection of Christ? The same thing as an egg. What does it have to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And why does the date change every single year? Why does it change? So let me go here. And first of all, let me see if I can pull up the name itself. Because in the scriptures, it's mentioned. It is mentioned in the scriptures, the name. And we will go here. The first one being the name Easter. And it reads, at the end of winter. Well, let me go back to the little subject here where it says the name Easter can be traced back to the name Astaroth, the Syrian sun goddess known as the Queen of Heaven. At the end of winter, the season changes because the earth tilts as it rotates on its axis. Spring arises with the sun is over the equator, so they kind of, you know, the whole flat earth thing, which is gaining ground here lately. I mean, oh, there's so much movement towards flat earth. It is really, really out there, especially on YouTube. They're really, really pushing this whole flat earth thing. On the first day of spring, known as the vernal equinox, which means spring equal night, both day and night are equal 12 hour long, which meant that the long winter nights were over and the sun again began to take control. Time was marked by celebrations and festivals to thank the pagan gods. These ancient rituals were fertility festivals observed in hopes that the gods would bless them with fertile flocks and fields. Animal and child sacrifices were offered to the gods to receive this favor. And just one more little excerpt here about the origin of Easter. The English word Easter and the German Ostern come from a common origin, Oster, Aster, pretty much the same word, which to the Norsemen meant the season of the rising, growing sun, the season of new birth, where it was used by ancestors to designate the feast of new life in the spring. The same root is found in the name for the place where the sun rises, or east. Think about it, the name Easter, sun rises in the east. The word Easter then originally meant the celebration of the spring sun, which had its birth in the east and brought new life upon the earth. Symbolism was transferred to the supernatural meaning of our Easter, to the new life of the risen Christ, the eternal and uncreated life. That shows you who they are worshiping. This was created. The sun was created by the Creator, but they put the focus on the creatures and not the Creator. Even though they say it does, but it does not. This is sun worship disguised as worship for the Son of God. But this is completely has nothing to do with him. Nothing at all. Here's some more things we can touch on here on this holiday. The egg. Matter of fact, this is another portion here on what God himself says about Easter. Again, I said this earlier that it's also mentioned in the scriptures. Well, it is. This is Jeremiah. This is Judges chapter 2, verse 11 and 13. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Asherah at the Easter. Also in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3 and 4, put away the strange gods and Asherahs from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. And the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Asherah and serve the Lord God only. And here's one of the main points of Easter, because this is the main focus. Oh yeah, I forgot about that, Brother Gilbert. I'm glad you mentioned that. The speeches. Oh, man, those are things that used to terrify me as a kid. They did. And maybe this is, now that I think about it, this is what the Lord used in order to get me in front of a microphone, because I was extremely uncomfortable with that as a youth. But the more my mom began to put it on me, then my aunts also began to pressure it as well. Like, oh, you can do this. Here you go. Here goes the speeches you're going to read. And my cousins, they were getting like little, you know, one-word statements. They would get like a little verse to read. And it started out like that for me in the beginning. But as I became like a teenager, 13 or 14, I'm getting whole pages. And like, oh, you can't just read this. You need to memorize this. I'm like, what? You have to memorize this entire thing and read it. And that's what it was. And I also saw, you know, speaking of envy, how it created envy. Because with some of my cousins, they couldn't do it. There was a lot of missing parts, or they would stop and they would stare at my aunts, and they would kind of coach them through what they needed to say. But with me, being able to just memorize it and read it, then I saw how he was, you know, creating that pride amongst my mom. I saw how he was creating the pride amongst my family members. Because they were looking like, well, why come he can do it, but you can't? And it's just, I don't know if it still continues this day. I don't know if the kids still do it, but I know this is how it was for me coming up and the effect that it had. You don't know these things. You don't know these things as a child, but they were forced. Just like Sister Stephanie right here, it was forced. Like, you're going to do it or else. And again, like I said in the beginning, I was shaking like a leaf. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this at all. You know, the kids, we are focusing on, you know, going out and hunting eggs. And sure enough, you know, you got parents that come to you, your mom and your grandma. I'm like, oh, it'll make me just so happy if you do this. Or just do it for me. And you know, sure enough, you know, don't want to let grandma down. So that's what it was. You know, it was all pride, brother. That's all it was. Brother Gil was just talking. That's all it was. To make, you know, you want to make your parents happy. You know, you want to make your grandparents happy. Especially grandma. You want to make grandma happy. You do. So to be able to do that, you got your nice outfit on. You got your hair done. And, you know, you're looking all good for grandma. And you just see that, you know, tear in her eye. That's how it was then. Now I doubt the same thing is going on now. Because, you know, Christianity among youth is on a major decline. It is on a major decline. It's totally not the same. It's not the same than what it was when I was coming up. Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was, brother. It was tradition. It was a tradition of man. It still is to this day. It's like with the eggs. The eggs, that's one of the main things that, you know, when it comes to Easter, you know, Walmart gives you a fresh reminder. And they remind you early. They don't wait till the day approaches. They give you reminders right after New Year's. No. You know, I'm going to take it back a little bit. One of my regulars, Uber, would tell me that they worked at Walmart right after Valentine's Day. And immediately they go into transition, what they call a reset, where they reset the entire store. And everything is focused on Easter. Every single thing. They give you a little bit about St. Patrick's Day, because they know it's just a day that's going to come and go, but they do put a major focus on Easter. Major focus on it. So that's what's going on there. So you could be in a coma for an entire year and not know nothing about what's going on. You don't know what the season is, what month, what day. Just walk into a Walmart. And you're like, oh, okay, I see all this sort of Halloween stuff. It must be fall. I see all this baskets. It must be around springtime. You just go into Walmart, you'll know exactly what the season is. So when it comes to these eggs, that is a big, big thing. Even going out of the way, my mom would go and you know spend money on eggs, and you know then you know, we were kind of poor. So something like that, you know, you got the chickens out in the yard, you use those to eat. They would spend, you know, they go out and spend a little money on little egg kits. And we'd be in the kitchen, you know, boiling eggs, you know, perfectly good eggs, boiling eggs to paint and decorate for Easter. And this was every single year we would engage in these things. So you would learn just how much of this, you know, as a child, you wouldn't learn the entire story as they portray it, you know, concerning the death, burial, and the resurrection. No, it's all about the tradition. It's all about the materialism. It was all about the hunting and hunting the eggs, all about finding the little prize. So concerning the egg, we'll go to this page here on the website about the egg. And it says, an egg was a sacred symbol of rebirth and fertility among the Babylonians, the Druids, Egyptians, and other pagan cultures. Dyed eggs were used as sacred offerings during the pagan Easter season and were also used as symbols of the goddess Ashtoreth and Ishtar in various cultures. So even then, even a thousand years ago, they were dying eggs, and now we have this same thing occurring still to this day. Now, I don't know, I don't, when it comes to the Easter, going and looking in the sections in Walmart and seeing what they have. I mean, it's bad enough you walk in it, it's everywhere. So I don't know if they still do it. They had those little kits they call a PAS, or they P-A-A-S, something like that. And they had like a little handle you would take, and you would have a little paint, you would dip it into the paint, and all that stuff. I mean, that was like something we did every single year. Every single year around Easter, we would do it as kids. And look forward to doing it, you know, because, you know, made the parents happy. Anything to make your mom and dad smile, in that case, just my mom, anything to make her smile, you would do it. So, let's go to a little, another section here about the egg. Let me see if I can find something that kind of hits hard. See, the egg was a mystical symbol to the pagan religions of Egypt, Japan, Greece, Persia, Phoenicia, India, and Babylon. And on page 496, he wrote, and this is from Albert Pike, an Illuminati member, the serpent entwined around the egg was a symbol common to the Indians, Egyptians, and the Druids. It is referred to the creation of the universe. A serpent with an egg in its mouth was a symbol of the universe containing within itself the germ of all things that the sun develops. Going back to sun worship. The property possessed by the serpent of casting its skin and apparently renewing its youth made an emblem of eternity and immortality. Thus, we see an indication that the egg initially represented serpent worship, and by extension, Satan worship. I mean, it doesn't get more like in your face than that, right there in your face. So what has been going on for thousands of years continue to this day. Or even with the sporting events. Every year they would have, at my grandma's house, it was big into sports. You know, growing up in the South, that's something you're going to be surrounded by. Either you're going to have a family member that plays, or you're going to go out and you'll see them play, or it's on television. So the basketball. You're going to have the college basketball around the time of the year. Also with the golf. They would put that tradition there and we kind of hug it around and watch, especially when Tiger Woods was real big. It just took the focus off of what we were just in church for an entire day. It just took the focus off of it. And it was all about, you know, the feasting and then the eggs and the sporting events. And right here, it mentions it right here on the website. About the sporting events and Easter, sports and celebrations. The Greeks and Russians, after their long, severe Lent, make Easter a day of popular sports. At Constantinople, oh my, I'm totally just butchered that word. I'm not even going to try. Okay. Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to butcher that. I'm not. Okay, the cemetery of Para, is the noisy rendezvous of the Greeks. There are music, dancing, and all the pleasures of an Oriental popular resort. The same custom prevails in the city of Russia. In Russia, anyone can enter the belfries on Easter and ring the bells, a privilege of which many persons avail themselves. These are things that go on every Easter. Every single Easter, just more and more traditions. More and more traditions of man. The rabbit. The rabbit. Which they just portray. You see this thing. What exactly is the meaning or purpose of the rabbit? Let's go into it. The rabbit or hare, a pagan symbol of fertility and life. B, the English century, the 8th century English monk and scholar related that the Teutonic goddess of spring and fertility, Easter, had the hare as her symbol. To begin with, it's actually the hare and not the rabbit, which is Easter's main character. Because, according to ancient tradition, the hare was a symbolic representation for the moon, since they only came out at night to eat. Also, the Egyptian name for the hare was Un, which means open, because they were born with the eyes open, which the rabbits are not. Legend has it that the hare never blinks or closes eyes. Some pagan cultures, the moon was also open-eyed, watcher of the skies. The hare is associated with the goddess Ishtar and was a symbol of fertility because they reproduce so quickly. And thus, the colleges and spring break. Spring break, they have them, and they kind of either before Easter or after Easter. And you have lots of students, lots of them. They go out to these beaches, like they flood Miami. They just had this big thing just a couple of weeks ago. They showed all these students down in Miami, and they just said, oh, we've got this super spreader COVID event because all these people are down here. They're unmasked, and they're just going to spread COVID all over the place. But people know what goes on down there. They know. You don't have to talk about it. You know what's going on down there. And this is a direct reference to that when it comes to fertility with this rabbit. It's nothing but just feasting. It's nothing but reveling and just partying on and on and on. Everything concerning this holiday is centered around paganism, all of it. When paganism is involved, it's usually some sort of debauchery. I'll just leave it as that. That's what it goes to. Let's find kind of one more. Again, all this is available on the website. I'm just kind of skimming through it a little bit because these are some of the main things that the people place emphasis on with this holiday. Let me see if I could find maybe one more that kind of hits. We talked about the rabbit and the name itself. Let me see. I know something big for me was the clothing, putting out the Sunday best. I mean, the best of the best. Mama would spend my hard-earned money. You know, I already had perfectly good suits to wear to church, but go and make sure I had another one. And that one only came out just for that day. It never got worn again, just for that day and that day only. So people are putting themselves into even further debt just for one day out of the year. So, this section says, Easter clothing. Everyone knows that Easter is a day that everyone has to wear their new Easter clothing. This mentality stems from the pagan tradition that it was unlucky not to wear some sort of new clothing or personal adornment because it symbolically signified the end of the old and the beginning of the new. And that is controlled by the calendar, pages 49. So again, I mean, a lot of this, you can kind of look here on the website, I mean, about Mardi Gras. I mean, anyone who lives in New Orleans, you're very, very familiar with that. That day, spring equinox, and here's one more that kind of sums up what we just talked about here. What Cardinal Newman speaks of here on page 359, an essay on the development on the Christian doctrine, John Henry Carter Newman. In his book at the use of temples, and these dedicated to particular saints, and ornamented on occasions with branches of trees, incense, lamps, and candles, votive offerings, recovery from illness, holy water, silence, holidays, and seasons, which is what Easter is, use of calendars, processions, blessing on the fields, sacerdotal vestments, the tonsure, the ring in marriage, turning to the east, images of a later date, the ecclesiastical chant, and the Kyrie Eleison are all of pagan origin, all of them, and sanctified by their adoption into the church. All of it is pure paganism. And to sum up the question of whether or not Christians should be celebrating and acknowledging the death and resurrection of Christ, that is a question here found at the very bottom of the page. The answer is yes, but not in the way you think. We should celebrate and acknowledge his death and resurrection at baptism and renew our faith in that loving act of his in communion. The enemy, the devil, Satan, invented Easter to confuse the truth and cover it up with mind-dazzling glitter, and that's exactly what he does. That's exactly what he does. So again, anyone is new to this truth, anyone is new to this truth, then please, I implore you to go to the website. I will share that link again. It's remnantofgod.org. Go down to the warning section. Scroll down the holidays and Easter. And there's plenty that you can use either on the street or just for your own personal knowledge concerning this day. It happens every single year, and people, you know, they just go into their traditions. So it's best to know and equip yourself with this knowledge concerning this celebration that is, in fact, tomorrow. All right. So I kind of just want to touch into that. I mean, nothing big, nothing major. I mean, everyone here is pretty much familiar with it. They are. But if anyone new, then it's best to definitely familiarize yourself with this holiday. So, having said that, I kind of went in a little bit, but let me pull up my notes for today, because I got a lot of stuff. Good, I got a lot. There's just so much happens throughout the week. You don't want to get redundant when you don't, but it's just so much. And I'm very, very thankful, because I got a lot of family members, especially my cousin. We talk a lot. We've been talking so much here lately about what's going on. And now it's coming to the point where it's beginning to be undeniable between them, some of my family members, where they know. They know, they know, they know. And they're beginning to prepare themselves for what's coming. They know, like, hey, you know, this got to be the last days. We're just seeing some stuff that just is not right. You know, things that are just not what they seem, you know, especially with the whole disguise of COVID and what it's doing, just everything behind it. They're beginning to see, and I'm thankful that they're asking questions. I'm just kind of going to them and talk about them. Even my kids, my son, he was, he looked at my phone. Well, I got an iPhone. I've been anti-iPhone forever. It was actually my mother-in-law that convinced me to get one to make it easier to do, like, video chats and things like that. So he was just messing with my phone. And anyone that has an iPhone, they have like a little Safari app. It comes, it's default on the iPhone. And me, when you first get it, they put it at the bottom. So you can't even see the word. You can't even see the word Safari, just see the symbol. But I put it in more like on the top so I can kind of get to it real quick and have like the call and messages at the bottom because that's some things I use the most. So he was just messing with my phone, and I got a picture of both of him and his sister as a screensaver. And he looked at it, and he kind of held it at an angle. And he said, Dad, I said, what are you talking about? He said, look at this. If you look at the word Safari, if you hold it like this, it looks like Satan. So I looked at it again. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I said, no, hold it at an angle like this. And he held it like you're kind of like you're holding your phone up like you normally would.
kind of away from your face, about 6 inches, and then he held it down like a falling domino. He kind of just leaned it down toward the floor, and I looked at it, and I'm like, whoa, that does look like it, and I kind of held it back away from me a little bit. And if you look at it like from a different angle, you can clearly see the word Satan right there, plain as day. And then he also pointed out that that the logo itself looks like an eye of a snake. And I was like, man, like where are you getting all this stuff? Like, where are you getting all this? 10 years old, like, where are you getting all of this? But you know, I relayed the same message over to one of my cousins because his daughter has an iPhone. He has a Droid. And he saw the exact same thing. He saw it. So the enemy puts his stamp on everything. He puts his stamp on it. We already know it. The founder, the CEO of Apple, he was openly homosexual. He didn't hide that at all. He made that very well known. The logo itself, the occult ties into it, everything. It's just, it's there. It's out there. To the point where just the enemy and the demons are just running rampant. They are running rampant. They know their time is short. They know. But today's reading goes into what we need to do to prepare, what we need to do. And we've been reading an SOP from the book, Ye Shall Receive Power. And today, the reading is April 3rd. And you talk about something appropriate for what we're going on, what we're going through right now, brothers and sisters. Today, the subject is just like right, it hits it so hard. The subject is ways in which the Spirit leads us. Here, Brother Nick often, Pastor Nick often saying, you got to do as the Spirit leads, do what the Spirit leads. This verse here, John chapter 10, verse 27, the key verse, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And she says here in this reading, Jesus expects all who claim to be his soldiers to do service for him. He expects you to recognize the enemy and to resist him, not to invite him to your confidence and thus betray sacred trust. You see America, they're putting their faith in themselves. I mean, the gun sales are going through the roof, but also the violence is also increasing. I mean, have you noticed the mass shootings that are going up? I mean, like every other day I get a new article or a new lead about this shooting that happened here, this shooting that happened there, and this new president. How long has he been in office? It was January, here it is April, and just the mass shootings are just continuing to increase. Now, you know the reverse, you know, how they kind of reverse engineer people to want to push towards you know, banning gun sales, getting rid of people having the right to defend themselves. Now, I'm not an advocate towards guns. I'm not an advocate at all. A lot of my family members, they own them. And I'm not going to shoot down your own right to protect yourself. But at the same time, this is what they're pushing. They're pushing this. There'll be no civil wars coming. And when people are faced with adversity, when they're faced with anxiety, or even faced with not being able to feed their children, they're going to get desperate. They're going to get desperate. They're going to take up arms. They're going to do things that are going to incite violence. You're going to see it. So you got to prepare yourself, brothers and sisters. You got to prepare yourselves. And this is the enemy. He wants you to put trust in yourself. Put trust in your guns. Put trust in your weapons. Trust in those things. And not put trust in the Most High. The Lord has placed you in a position where you may be elevated and ennobled and be constantly gaining fitness for his work. If you do not obtain these qualifications, you alone are to blame. Now, I know by now, many of you might have heard of this rapper, and this really gets to me because a lot of these kids are listening to his music. He had this big, huge song a few months ago, and this is how they do. This is how the enemy works. He's done this with Disney forever. They'll have these characters, take like Miley Cyrus, for example. She had this show, Hannah Montana. And I know because my daughter watched it. My daughter watched it,
this is before I became, you know, aware of certain things. And she watched it, and it was innocent. It was a very, very innocent show. So these kids, they become accustomed to watching these actors. They watch them from their youth. So they grow up with them. They grow up with them, and then they become adults. And all of a sudden, their morals change, so to speak. But that same Miley Cyrus, who was, you know, young and innocent then, now is doing things that are highly questionable. But because she has a fan base as a youth, they still attach to her even as an adult. So the same thing happened here with this rapper. He had this song, and it became extremely trendy. I mean, it was just on every station, just going on and on and on. I mean, people who don't listen to rap songs, you know, they listen to it. It crossed over with this guy who was a country music singer, and it would just went through the roof. But now he's got a fan base. That same fan base continues to follow him to this day. And speaking of this rapper, I think he goes by this name, Little Nas X, something like that. And I knew about the song because of the popularity of it, but as far as his music, I'm like, nah, there's no way. There's no way, because I knew about his background. I knew that he was homosexual. So there's no way. I'm not listening to that stuff. It's not happening. Even before the knowledge. I'm like, no, not happening. But this story is not about his music. This story is not about his music. We're talking about these shoes. There's these shoes that he released under this company known as Mischief. It says MSCHF. I guess they're so accustomed to making these words without vowels for some reason. I don't know why, but that's Mischief. That's exactly what it is. But he took these shoes and he converted them into these like devil shoes. And they say that these shoes have like a blood in each shoe, some kind of ink that makes it look like real like human blood. But I guess they also took like some blood from the people that worked there. So each one of them volunteered to give up some of their own blood and put inside this shoe. There's also on the shoe a Bible verse written, it's Luke 10:18. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with it concerning the Satan's fall from heaven. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what this guy's religious beliefs is, but it's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious. No, his public statements have left no doubt. He has a very, 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 very deep hatred for Christianity. Very deep hatred. Or that music video? No. There's a YouTuber that I live stream with every so often. And I was sent a message. And I was asked, have you seen this video by Little Nas X? Or a commenter has sent this to me and told me I needed to do something. I needed to make a video about it because this is just utterly disgusting what this guy has done. So it was forwarded to me, and I said, no, I haven't seen it. And they told me, no, you don't want to see this. You don't want to see this. Horrible, it's bad. This guy has got like millions and millions of views on this. You don't want to see it because it's total outright disrespect to creation. You don't want to see it. But the people who are commenting on it see absolutely no wrong in it. They're making no jokes, they're laughing, they're jesting, having no idea this guy is leading them to the pits of hell. None at all. None. So it's pretty obvious that this guy, he hates Christianity. He hates the Bible. Because what the Bible says about his lifestyle, he doesn't like it. He doesn't. Now, again, as I mentioned earlier, this man is just openly homosexual. And if you just look, like just what, a couple of decades ago, matter of fact, about 20 decades ago, there were lesbian couples in the Netherlands that married, and the Pandora's box was open. It was open, so it just began to spread all over the globe. There are countries that have resisted, but now we see like 28 countries that allowed for homosexual marriage. 28 countries, and the United States is one of them. But going back to these shoes, 666 pairs of these shoes, and each one of them sold for over $1,000. $1,000. But what really makes this story like really, really like, whoa, you know, kind of eye-opening is that the people couldn't have to wait to get their hands on these shoes. So they only had a limited amount that they had distributed. And they said, according to this here article, that these shoes sold out within a minute. Within a minute, they were completely sold out. I mean, you do the math on that right quick. Just 666 pairs, and do some quick math. 1,000 a piece. That's almost $700,000 this guy made in less than a minute on selling some Satan shoes. But can you imagine if it wasn't limited? Imagine if he just had thousands of them, maybe millions of these shoes. How many more he would have sold? I mean, what we do know is that tens of millions of people are turning over and looking at this guy's music because of the eye candy that he purported with these shoes and with this video. While he's just reveling in the cash. I mean, the wealthy are just getting mountains of money. Mountains of money. Oh, yes, yeah, so I'm talking about Brother Eli. I'm talking about these shoes, man. I mean, I've gotten so many text messages from my family members or either online, social media, and that seems like the hot topic almost this entire week was about those shoes and that video. And first, when the YouTuber sent it to me, I had no idea. I didn't know nothing about that. What are they talking about? Have you seen this? I'm like, no, I didn't know nothing about it. But then I went to the store a little bit and kind of see the inner workings. I'm like, whoa, this is bad. This is very, very, very bad. But again, the money that this guy made off of this, the money he made off of it, it just shows where society is placing their importance. This is where they're placing their importance on these things. While our world is literally crumbling around us. For many people, especially here in America, I hear the talk of the good old days. I speak about the good old days. Oh, they're gone. They're gone. They are gone. What the American dreams, they sell. Oh, you got to get your house, and you see the white picket fence, and you got your dog, and you got your job. Those things, those days are over. And unemployment, people are not working. I mean, unemployment claims are through the roof. They are through the roof. Last time I checked, 70 million new unemployment claims have been filed over the past year. 70 million. That is a lot of people out of work, and a lot of them are comfortable not working. I've seen people who leave the workplace where I'm working at now who will say, oh, I got COVID or something like that, and they, I get the little COVID pay, and they go home for a little 14 days, and then I find out later, they don't come back because they say they make more money getting unemployment than they would if they were actually working. So the enemy is getting people comfortable staying at home and not working. All the while, society as a whole is beginning to crumble. It's already crumbling. It's already crumbling. But you see more and more of it now being pushed in the media than ever before, especially with the violence. I mean, some of these cities right now, you just did not want to be in. You do not want to be in them. The violence is going up. And people, they're losing their cars with the carjacking, the robberies, the shooting, the assaults, the violence. So it's just, and now it's becoming so common, the shock factor is gone. I mean, some of the things I see now would have been like, whoa, what is that? As a youth, but now it's just like, oh, okay, it's just another day in America. Well, especially some of these major cities like L.A. or Minneapolis, Chicago, or Philly, Baltimore. These are the places you just don't want to go. You don't want to go. I've been to Chicago, the good part of Chicago. I hadn't been in the bad part. I've been to Chicago. I've been to Philadelphia. I've been to Baltimore. It's all the good parts. So I really don't know. As far as, how bad it is, and some of these places I visited were, years ago. But now you talk to people like, hey, you don't want to go here. You don't want to go here. If you got, like, what to say, if you got a death wish, then you go right on ahead. Because you go there, and the violence is so high, the crime rate is so high, that you're likely to lose your life. More and more reasons why the Lord had prompted many of us to get out of these places, to get out of these cities. These are the major cities. Even some of the ones that are not quite as major, you still need to be able to make means to get out of there. To get out of there, be more self-sufficient, get out into the country, because the violence is increasing. It's very, very, very bad. This is just unbelievable what we're seeing now. With the murder rates, just everything just going up. With the crime rates. I mean, I just seen one. It wasn't even in America. This is happening overseas. In fact, let me pull this title up. It says this gunman. This headline says, gunman kidnaps pastor and three church members during a live stream church ceremony. Live stream. Let me get you a little bit. Excerpt from this article. This is a pastor in Haiti, so it's not too far from us down south in the islands there. A pastor in Haiti has been kidnapped during a ceremony that being broadcasted live on Facebook and YouTube by gunmen, and the footage has now been shared on social media in a country plagued by soaring violence. So violence is going up. This is prophesied. It's prophesied. She said it, and also our Lord told us. The love of many is truly waxing cold. According to the report from Reuters, the video shows two choir members singing a hymn before they are seen suddenly dropping their microphones and take cover by the side of the altar. Piano music continues to play in the background while a man with a rifle enters the screen and is seen on the video taking them away. Now get this. The abduction was streamed live on Facebook and YouTube on Thursday evening and reportedly took place at the Seventh-day Adventist Gospel Creole Minister Church in Dequeny on the outskirts of the capital of the Port-au-Prince. This was an SDA church, brothers and sisters. The report stated that Gregory Figaro, whose father is the founder of the ministry, revealed to the Miami Herald that 8 to 10 gunmen had arrived in two vehicles and kidnapped the pastor and three others, including the pianist. If this can happen, then anything is possible in the country because there is no respect for no institution. Brothers and sisters, Satan is trying to instill fear now in the online gatherings. Online gatherings. But for most churches, this is a foreign concept. They have no idea what it is and still is. I mean, you tell people you go to church online, they look at you like this. What? What do you do? Like, how? How is it possible? How can you still, you know, how do they word this? They'll say, well, how do you get the Spirit? Because I guess they figure you can, like, catch the Holy Spirit like you catch a baseball. Like, how do you get it? By going to an online gathering. But Jesus clearly said in the Word, what, 2 or 3 gatherings gather in my name. They're in my midst of it. We are gathered today on the Holy Sabbath on the same day that the Father, the Son, the Holy Angels, all of heaven, the entire universe is resting. Except this one rebellious planet. Everyone else is in rest. How can they say you can't? You absolutely can't gather online and have fellowship. You can do it. And here's the enemy trying to instill that fear. Like, oh, well, you need to be aware of what's going on because, hey, you might have the possibility of being kidnapped while you're doing a live stream church service. But we have no fear in what he will do, what he's purporting to do here in the future. Going back to our reading, there are three ways in which the Lord reveals his will to us, to guide us, and to fit us to guide others. How may we know his voice from that of a stranger? How should we distinguish it from the voice of a false shepherd? God reveals his will to us in his word, the Holy Scriptures. His voice is also revealed in his providential workings. and it will be recognized if we do not separate our souls from him by walking in our own ways, doing according to our own wills, and following the promptings of an unsanctified heart, until the senses have become so confused that eternal things are not discerned, and the voice of Satan is so disguised that it is acceptable as the voice of God. Well, how do we hear the voice of God? By reading his word. This is Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in that same word of the Lord, we find the sources of life in our body that God put in there for us to live. The very breath of life that's in our nostrils. The breath that Job speaks of, Solomon speaks of, Moses speaks of. Matter of fact, let's go to those passages. Job, chapter 27, verse 3. And while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit shall return unto God that who gave it. And we find out who gave it, who gave that Spirit in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It is the wearing of the mask, and I am just very, very intimate when it comes to this thing, because it chokes away the very, very, very breath that God put into each and every one of us to live. To live. Reducing that oxygen supply that is needed to create that good blood. Weakening your systems, it just has a domino effect on your entire body by wearing this thing. We've had these governors in these different states. I know Texas is one of them. I think Florida is one of them. I don't know. I believe Florida did not go really like strict on their mask mandates. But this headline speaks otherwise. The governors left mandates. Okay, I think the schools operate different and the churches operate different. So you see, they may say the governors have the power, but look who's really wielding that power. They may say, oh, no, we're going to lift the mask mandates, but the schools, the corporations, the churches say, hey, you come in here without a mask, you're going to be in trouble. We're going to arrest you. We're going to fine you. We're going to place you in jail, whatever that may be. This headline from Florida. Students at Florida High School warn they will be re-educated if caught not wearing a mask. So the Florida governor says, no, you don't need to wear these things. So COVID restrictions are going to lift them. But the schools say, no, you're going to wear this mask. And if you don't, you're going to a re-education. What does that sound like, brothers and sisters? Is this communist China? What does that sound like to you, re-educating someone? Students at Clearwater High School in Florida have been warned that they will be re-educated on the importance of wearing a mask if they are seen on school premises not wearing a face covering. It goes on to read, an advisory post on the school's website regarding the face mask policy tells students, teachers, and staff, and any visitors that masks are mandatory on all school property as well as on school bases. I mean, we just talked about that last week, that one nurse could have had her child taken away because her daughter was in the school. She had a mask on. And all she did was just drop her child off at the school. All she did was drop her off, left without a mask on, and one of the school staff came out there, pretty much hunted her down, called her out for not wearing a mask, had her arrested, and long story short, they came and took away her child. they came and took away our child. So now here we go, another story where the government is coming in, well, the schools are coming in, and they're saying, hey, if you don't have this mask on, then we are, quote unquote, going to brainwash your child into wearing this thing. They're going to wear it. The section on noncompliance then spells out the punishment for anyone caught flaunting the rules. The wearing of a face covering is a public health issue. Students who do not wear a mask when it's required or refuse to do so should first be re-educated on the importance of wearing a mask, even though we see the dangers of wearing this thing. We talk about how is it have, how you had the flu every single year. Every single year they have the flu season, and there's not no mention of putting the mask on. For some reason, when it comes to COVID, everyone has the mask up. And there's so many doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, so many of you that post online that show the dangers of having this material on your face. Or you can find the Magellans. You can find these fibers inside the mask. Those things that are very, very, very dangerous to your body. Extremely dangerous. And all in all, compromising your health, compromising your oxygen, compromising the very, very breath of God that he gave you to live, compromising these things by putting this face covering on your body. For some that work in the healthcare field, you got this thing on the entire shift. I talk with a lot of people, especially healthcare workers. I'm worrying some of these students, they take these little health science programs, and I see them. They don't take it off. Even when they're talking, they have it on, they eat, they lift the mask up, take a bite, put the mask back on. Like, they're being trained to do this. And this kind of behavior is very, very, very cult-like, extremely cult-like, to put this thing on. And now they're being trained. I mean, you got to look at the young people who are coming up in this world. I mean, those who are born after 2010, so to speak. This is all they know. They have no idea how it was. They're going to school now. This is what they know. Washing their hands every other minute. Not touching anyone. No kind of contact at all. The teachers can't even touch them. If a kid bumps their head on a desk or something, the teacher can't even touch them because of the fear they might, you know, catch a disease. So that sympathy level is gone. If they cough or sneeze, and they immediately get sent to the nurse's office because they got to get screened to see if they're showing symptoms of COVID. Instilling even more fear into the kids. And now they do things like this. And if you do not comply, you will be punished. You will be punished. Let me go and kind of read this thing a little bit, where it says about the punishment. If after re-education occurs, they still do not comply, the student's administrator should be contacted. So there goes the contact tracing. It has outlined that parents will also be contacted, and the student will be forced to switch to online learning if non-compliance continues. So they're going to kick the kid out of school. They're going to kick him completely out of school. So for most parents, when it comes to school, that is their sanctum for daycare, you know, quote unquote. That is where they send their kids so they can work, especially in a lot of single parent households where the mom is not there, and that's where the kids go. Where the other parent, or in this case, where dad is not there, then that's where the kids are while mom works there at school. And now, with this occurring, the parent is faced with inconvenience. Do I make the decision to put my child in a mask, even though I'm firmly against it, send them to this school, or do I have to find a new job because now my child is at home at a computer doing little Zoom meetings and things like that online? That is a decision that a lot of parents are being compelled with. And praise God, because a lot of them are not going either route and deciding to pull their kids out of school completely and homeschool their children. Like, I'm not going to let the government educate my child. I'm not going to let my child walk around with a covering on all day and do all these little cult-like practices. No, I will teach them myself. This is what they're doing. Punishing a child for not wearing a face covering. This is continuing. You know, prepping people for the mark. This is what they're doing. The term re-education is normally used in context of involuntary political indoctrination and was a concept embraced by historical communist dictatorships. China, you have to look no further. Just look across the water and see what China is doing. And you see how they're slowly being slow rolled into America. Slowly being slow rolled. The things that are going on over there with the face covering, facial recognition, biometrics, mass surveillance, social credit score. I mean, all of it is slowly coming over here, disarming the people, you know, leaving them at the mercy of the government. All of that is slowly being rolled over here under the disguise of COVID. And people are accepting it. Oh, we're in a public health crisis. People are dying all over the streets. We have to do this. It's the rules. We have to follow the rules. Then you go on and talk about those who are against the vaccines. Same thing. About anti-vaxxers. Remember just a couple of months ago. Matter of fact, I think it's about a year ago, actually. One of these politicians that suggested concerning anti-vaxxers that they should round them up, put them all in camps, bring out firing squads or re-educate them. I mean, somewhere on that line, something like that. Again, just planting the seeds. Planting the seeds that people who do not wear the mask are just pure evil. People who are not in favor of putting poison into their bodies are just absolutely evil, they must be destroyed. The same thing happened in the church. I came across this one story where this lady, she was attending this Catholic church in Texas. Now remember, Texas had just lifted their mask mandates right around the time they had the big ice storm. But immediately after, within that week or so, we talked about the one lady who went to her bank for a jar of money and she didn't have a mask on and got arrested, got thrown into a squad car because she didn't have one mask. Well, now there's another story at this Catholic church. This lady, she's in service, she's pregnant, and she already has a child, a one-year-old baby. And they were doing communion. They were handing out communion. And the pastor, because she was partaking in communion, had took her face covering off to partake in the Eucharist. And the pastor called her out. And instead of addressing her directly, he went and called the police. So the police showed up, little lady showed up, and told her what the issue was that they were having with her not wearing the face covering. And even though she was explaining her situation and what was going on, the police wasn't having none of it. And pretty much arrested the lady, took her outside, and put her in cuffs. I mean, granted, Texas had lifted the mask mandate. But look who is still wielding the power to say, no, you're going to put this thing on whether you like it or not. The churches. And I need to pull that up because the lady hit some very, very key points in this that kind of made it seem like there's some acting going on because she was referring to the church as this is not a business. This is not a business. This is a place of worship. This is not a business. Even though we know this is a government installation, this is a 501c3. This is, in fact, is a business. This is a government operation. It's a government corporation. If you fall into that 501c3 category, you are indeed, you know, under the thumb of the government. But the way she was saying, oh, this is not a business. Y'all can't do this. This is a public gathering. This is a place of worship. So you can kind of see they were throwing some seeds out there to let people know, like, hey, for those who have caught on to the whole 501c3, that no, it's not like that. This is the house of God. This is not a business, but in fact, it's quite the opposite. We have all these mainstream evangelical leaders coming out, you know, pushing the vaccine, pushing the face covering. If they were true to the word, then they wouldn't do these things. They wouldn't coax their flocks to put these poisons into their bodies. They wouldn't coax their flocks to literally suffocate themselves throughout the day by wearing these face coverings. They wouldn't do it. But they do because they have to follow the narrative. They have to do as their government orders. They have to go right along with it. It's unreal. What we're seeing is unreal. What's being pushed. We see more and more and more concerning this vaccine, concerning lockdowns. I think France just did it. Is it France or Italy? It might have been Italy. Let me see. I know it was one of these countries just went back into a full-scale lockdown. Yes, it was France. France had just, yep, did. Now, that begs the question, and we've talked about this before. If the lockdown worked, why are you doing it again? And if it didn't work, why are you doing the same thing again? So here we go with France has instituted another nationwide lockdown. Matter of fact, let me pull up what exactly what they're doing here. This is a French president. His name is Emmanuel Macron. Announced a national lockdown Wednesday, closing schools and non-essential businesses. Amid mounting public frustration over his government handling of the pandemic. So again, here we go. Here we go again. If you see this happening in another country, then rest assured, brothers and sisters, this is going to happen again in the States. It's going to happen again. They're just prepping the people to know that it's going to happen. The president comes out and says, oh, the people, everything's returning back to normal. Everything, you know, the states are reopening too soon. You're opening up the bars too soon because they know what they're going to do. They know what they're going to do. You see how all these numbers are just being, you know, directed in a manner where if you see cases going up in a certain state, they can easily go in and say, oh, we got to shut this down because now you have these cases arising. You know, COVID is spreading. We need to shut you down. And if you don't shut down, we're going to force you to shut down. Is happening, and you have to prepare. You have to prepare, even though you can go outside and see that nothing is happening. The same people I get in contact with every single day, whether it be co-workers, family, people on the streets, they can all look around and see and know that there's nothing going on. If it was in the midst of a deadly pandemic, I wouldn't be able to walk outside without stepping over a body. You wouldn't be able to walk outside without stepping over a body. You would see people just keeling over and falling down every single block. You would hear ambulances. You would hear sirens. People crying, yelling, oh, my man, what is going on, man? This person's got COVID. That one's got COVID. Just no, absolutely not. Yet more lockdowns are being ordered. More lockdowns are being pushed. So expect it to happen again. It happened last year. It's going to happen again, and you have to be prepared. The downfall of it is every single time they do one of these lockdowns, you see more and more of these draconian measures being pushed. And with the first lockdown, we saw how people being inside and not being able to gather to public venues. More and more digital forms of payment became kind of prevalent when it came to getting like their groceries, their food, or people getting a whole lot of online deliveries. Now you have different agencies knowing what you're buying, when you're buying it, the very method that you're using to purchase it. They're building a profile. They're building a profile of people. Now, you know, it's unavoidable because we know that transition is coming where everything's going to be cashless. We know that's coming. But if you're not making those preparations now, you know, to use the cash box is available. If privacy is a concern to you and you don't want the government knowing your business, you don't want to know that, hey, you know, you're buying just a cans of food. If you're buying, certain goods to whatever it may be to kind of sustain yourself when this day comes, you don't want them knowing. The best opportunity now is to go ahead and take advantage of that. Take advantage. There is nothing wrong with preparing. There is nothing wrong with preparing at all. If you're not familiar with that, you can go back and look in Genesis and learn what happened with Joseph. When they knew a famine was coming, they knew it was coming and prepared storehouses. You know what is coming, brothers and sisters. You know what is coming. An opportunity to prepare is now. Take advantage of it. Not just prepare for your household, also prepare friends, families, loved ones. If they don't receive it, and hey, at least they know, like, okay, I'm making the moves. I'm making the moves on what needs to be done, because when that famine hits, it's going to hit. See, people now, prices of food is going up. All of a sudden, there's a new toilet paper shortage. That those kind of things are happening again. Cleaning supplies, store shelves are beginning to empty again. But even with that huge carrier, that huge cargo ship, which I still find kind of suspect, I do. The size of that thing is massive. How does that thing get stuck in that teeny tiny little canal? I just find that unbelievable. And then the methods that they were using to free it, like, that just doesn't seem right to me. Now, that is a way to shut down international trade. I mean, a lot of those goods are very, very, people rely on the things that were on that carrier. They rely on it for just daily functions. And to shut all that down, you can shut down business overnight. You can shut it down. So being less dependent on goods, so to speak, and more dependent on our God. Leaning less towards the physical and the material and more towards the spiritual. For many of us, we're learning to part ways with things that you hold near and dear. You know, I've wondered over in the course of my life why I don't really have a lot of things that are sentimental. I don't. They used to be important to me, but over time, either they were stolen, they were lost in a move, just many, many things that happened. So now, lifestyle has become very basic. Extremely basic. We just have the things that you need to function throughout the day. But for many people, it's all tech-driven. It's all tech-driven. What would you do without the tech? What would you do without the smartphone? I mean, can you still go out into the woods and then navigate yourself without having this phone in your hand? You're learning how to just, you know, learn where you're at without the use of technology. And putting your trust and faith in him. This is what the enemy wants. He wants you to put your trust and faith into these gadgets. And into your smart watch and your glasses and then the phone. I mean, for most young people, everything they know in life comes directly from this phone. Nothing else. Everything they know comes straight to Google. I can't even tell you how many people I've come in contact with that are under the age of 25 who say they've never picked up a Bible. Never picked it up, have no desire to read, or they downplay the Bible. The first thing they say, oh, the Bible talks about, you know, rape and sodomy, violence and slaves. I don't want nothing to do with that. And they just talk about things that are in the OT and having no idea the meaning and the purpose of why God put them there. Having no idea, none. So you see how that big falling away towards the scriptures. Big falling away toward the Word of God and putting more trust in the technology more than ever before. They are. So going back to preparation, there is nothing wrong with preparation. Nothing at all. I mean, even here in America, the percentage of Americans that identify as Christians is low. Extremely low. And going back to the young people, I mean, they are abandoning the faith. They are. At a staggering pace. they are doing. They're more in tune with spiritualism, astrology, Wiccan. We saw that a couple of weeks ago with the schools in California. So introducing Aztec Mayan worship to all these false gods and false images. And they bring us into the schools. But the Ten Commandments, no. I get rid of that. We allow you to worship Satan. We allow you to worship him. We're going to teach your children that it's okay. We're going to bring in transgenders. We're going to have them read books to your children. We're going to teach your kids all about pedophilia. And that is perfectly acceptable. And I got so many stories. I mean, it's outright disgusting even to talk about it on a daily basis, much less on the Sabbath. That's just like that. There's no way. Because they're just disgusting. But these are being done. These are things that are being done in schools to children. And you have these rappers like Lil Nas X doing what he's doing and having a big, huge following. And a lot of his following are that of young people. We can see the direction where we're going. It is spiraling downhill extremely fast. Extremely fast. I mean, kids, they are obsessed with the occult. They are obsessed. And these shoes are just an example of that. I mean, what did we say? Just in a minute, they were sold out. And I find it strange that Nike would say that they're going to go back and sue this guy, I guess the little company Mischief, when their whole logo, everything about their brand is embedded in paganism. Even growing up, when a lot of their shoes, the models for their shoes were themed around Greek gods. I knew it because me and my cousin, we just go to these books. What were they called? The name of these books. East Bay books. We would go to these East Bay books, and we would do it the same way we would approach end of the year holiday presents. We would just go through them like, yeah, I want that, I want that, I want this, I want that. Just more and more coveted all day long with these books. And I remember a lot of these Nike shoes, they were athletic running shoes. Some were called like Nike Air Zeus, Nike Air Apollos, Nike Air Pegasus. They were all themed around, mysticism, Greek gods, all of it. Now, us as kids, we had no idea. We just liked the shoes. They were cool. But how can they say this is unacceptable, but the same line market shoes that are honoring pagan gods? This is how they gaslight people. If you don't know what gaslighting is, this is exactly how they do it. Reverse psychology, so to speak, where they say one thing and then the other end do exactly the opposite. This is what they do. That's why it's so important, as Brother Nick said vehemently here. You can do sermons online, how important it is to stay in the Word so you can hear the voice of the Lord speaking, because the enemy is speaking in many ways to people and they have no idea the devil is talking to them. It's just a normal day to them, a normal day. Whether it be online, whether it be social media, through their apps, through television, through entertainment. I mean, I know I'm going on totally off topic here, but sometimes this stuff kind of gets to you. It does, because of what you see on a daily basis. See these articles that I read, the videos that I see, it totally drives me up the wall just seeing how people are allowing themselves to be wooed into the pits of hell and literally have no idea. They think it's okay. A part of it just it makes you feel a certain kind of way, and another part of it is very depressing. It just makes you sad. Like why? Like, why do you allow these things to happen to you? Why do you allow this, just the enemy just to use you up like you're nothing? You're much greater than that. You have a much higher purpose and a much higher calling than that. Your life is way more valuable than sell it short to a pair of shoes or a new phone or whatever it may be. To be able to hear the voice of the Lord and go as he go and do as he doeth. To close out here with Sister White in this very last paragraph. As far as that voice is concerned, another way in which God's voice is heard is through the appeals of his Holy Spirit, making impressions upon the heart, which will be wrought out in the character. If you are in doubt upon any subject, you must first consult the scriptures. If you have truly begun a life of faith, you have given yourself to the Lord to be his, to wholly his, and he has taken you to mold and fashion according to his purpose, that you may be a vessel of honor. You should have an earnest desire to be pliable in his hands, or molded, and to follow whithersoever he may lead you. You are then trusting him to work out his designs, but at the same time you are cooperating with him for working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You, my brother, will find difficulty here because you have not yet learned by experience to know the voice of the Good Shepherd, and this places you in doubt and peril. You ought to be able to distinguish his voice. That sounds like she was writing something personal right there. But everyone can relate and need to relate in these hard times that we find ourselves in. And with America just running amok. Like there's no other word for it. Not just America, but the entire world. It's a cosmic shift in morals and morality. And it's only going to get worse. But God is greater. And on that, we will pick up our next SOP reading, 410. So I'm going to go ahead and bookmark that. It is the top of the hour, and I'm sorry I got a little windy. But sometimes this stuff just gets to you. It really, really does. It does. Especially when you read about it and see it on a daily basis, it really, really, really gets to you. I know for me. I know it does. I know it does for you all. You just feel kind of vexed when you read some of these stories. It vexed when you see some of these headlines. It vexed when it's happening with persecution. And I see so many articles throughout the day, and it's just like, when is this going to end? You know, when is this going to end? But you know it's all coming to an end. You still maintain that hope. You still maintain it because you know the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. It is racing towards us faster than we could ever even imagine. But the faster that day comes, the more and more the enemy, you know, cranks up levels of evil to a point that the depths of Satan are just being revealed. They are. And now the devils are just like wide open. And they're not even hiding that stuff anymore. They're not even hiding it. They are being wide open, and the people are accepting it as it's just normal. It's just normal day-to-day life. Just seeing the symbolisms, the movies, the sorceries, the bestiality, all of this. It's just normal day-to-day life. Pedophilia, the homosexuality, homosexual marriage, polygamy, like whatever. People just pay it no mind. And all in all, what they're doing is they're just lining up like sheep to the slaughter, accepting the whole entire COVID narrative, willingly volunteering themselves to be injected with this poisonous concoction, having no idea the effects of what it's going to do. You know, me, you've heard me say it verbatim. It's not a vaccine, it's a lethal injection because you are going to die. You are going to die. It's not a matter of if your body becomes a ticking time bomb. You are going to die. You take this shot. You are going to die. Then I'm seeing coworkers, friends, loved ones, who all they know is what's being repeated on the TV, and they accept it as gospel, and they run with it. You see people randomly, they do these interviews, and they just go up and ask them, you know, are you going to take the vaccine? And they say, yeah, and then give them the reason why. And they literally repeat what is being said on the news, word for word. And they can't even expound any further than what they see on TV. Same things, repeating the same keywords, same phrases, as if the television has programmed it. to say these things. There is no explanation given. None at all. It just rinse and repeat.
So again, like I said, I'm sorry. This stuff really gets to me. It does. It does. Especially when you see people you care about that are just lining up for the foolishness and just being wooed right into it.
Okay, Brother Tom, I see you over there. You good now? Okay, all right. So I'm going to drop my mic. Time for our little 5 p.m. study. Well, now it's 5:04, so 5:04 p.m. study. If you're on the East Coast. And the next voice you will hear be that of Brother Sean. Praise God in all things. Sabbath blessings to everyone. I love you all. Have a blessed and beautiful remainder of your Sabbath day.